First, make your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz on ESPN 2, also presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys are on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And let's face it, everybody wants to chime in on Dak Prescott, so we're letting that happen. I want to get you caught up on some of the most important news you need throughout the course of the day. Again, Dak Prescott has been exclusively tagged with the franchise tag, meaning he can't talk to other teams. He will make a salary of between $30 and $33 million. And at this point, it does not close the window for them to continue to negotiate right now. So we know at this point that that's going to continue. We also know that DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth round pick have been traded from the Texans to the Cardinals in exchange for running back David Johnson, everybody's fantasy football player extraordinaire from a few years ago. David Johnson, a second round pick and a 2021 fourth round pick. So we have that at this point. We also have several franchise tags being played out there. Of note, Derrick Henry, last year's leading rusher, has been franchise tagged by the Titans. No big shock there, but it does mean Jack Conklin, the offensive lineman, at this point can at least start talking to teams. And also, don't forget, because of the tagging of Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper is free to talk about other teams. And we managed to make it this far into the conversation and not actually say the words Tom Brady. So I'm pretty proud. I'm pretty proud of all of us. Again, I can't stress this enough. The coronavirus epidemic and pandemic, I should say, the coronavirus pandemic is obviously the story that continues to rule the sports world. It rules the country. All eyes are on it. We will continue to keep everybody updated. But today, because the NFL opened their legal tampering period, as they call it, starting at noon Eastern today, it means we have football news. And I'm hoping that this gives everybody a little bit of reprieve. I'm not trying to take anything away from the seriousness of what's going on across the country and across the world, but if I can help everybody escape for a little bit and I can help everybody get this moment, we will take it all day long because it gives us sports to talk about. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What should be done with Dak Prescott? And we'll continue to give you that information as you get it, as we get it, I should say, across the board. I believe as we look forward here, we're dealing with a couple of different locations. So I'm going to see if we've got it here. We're going to go to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless as we get into everything about Dak. And what I know right now is that Adam Schefter joined Max and Stephen A to talk a little bit about what Dak is doing and where they are with the Cowboys right now.
Well, we're in the same spot with Dak Prescott that we've been in all along. The difference here is that the exclusive franchise tag means other teams can't go and sign him if they want, and it gives the Dallas Cowboys more time to try to work out a deal with Dak Prescott that's been very elusive for both sides for months now. If we go back to last summer, this past season, the Cowboys made the decision to sign Zeke Elliott first, and obviously people have been talking about Dak Prescott. We were given various updates at various points. And it's a situation where everybody was waiting to see if they could get a deal done. They never could. And I don't believe they're still close now. And I don't believe this was really a deadline to get a deal done. I think the next real deadline to me is the first week in April. Look, the Dallas Cowboys are supposed to have, who knows if it'll happen in light of what's going on in our country, but they're supposed to have their off-season program begin. And if it begins the first week of April, if it's not canceled, then I would think that with a new head coach and Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys would want Dak Prescott there. But if the NFL goes ahead and cancels its offseason program, to me that takes away the artificial deadline that existed to get Dak under contract at this time, and talks could linger on for weeks to come if there's no offseason program.
Adam Schefter. Oh,
go ahead, Stephen.
Your intel, Adam Schefter. Can you tell us specifically what Dak Prescott, what issue are they divided on? How much money?
Yeah.
What exactly is it that he's asking for, et cetera? What exactly is the issue that Dak Prescott has with the offer that the Dallas Cowboys have made to him?
Well, Stephen A., you know how this works in any negotiation, right? It has to be exactly right. The structure, the money. The Dallas Cowboys could be saying, Dak, we'll give you a $500 million contract. Big deal. What does that mean in the NFL? What's the structure of it? What's the guarantee at signing? What's the payout in 2 years? What's the payout in 3 years? What's the signing bonus? I mean, there are so many questions. That's a very hard question to answer. I don't know the exact specifics. I can tell you that I don't think it's just a financial issue. I think there's probably a year's issue, too. Dallas would want a quarterback like this under contract with 10 years on the CBA as long as it could, because the prices of these quarterbacks is going to be going up. Dak's going to want to be under contract for less time, right? So there is probably a disagreement over the length of the contract, over how much he's paid in year one, year two, guaranteed. There are so many different issues that could crop up. The bottom line, Stephen A., is these two sides have been unable to bridge any of those differences. They don't appear to have gotten close at any point in time to getting a deal done.
That's Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I can't stress this enough. Negotiations are not simple. So a lot of people are trying to make this a very simple issue. Just pay the man. Well, it's never that simple as how, when, who. There are so many variables that make contracts like this incredibly complicated. So to help us break down the latest and what we know, what we can figure out, we're going to head to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, where ESPN Cowboys reporter Todd Archer joins us. Todd, thanks for the time. So what is the latest right now with Dak and the Cowboys?
There's really no latest now that the tag is on there. The focus is on Amari Cooper and trying to sign him, but the Cowboys' goal remains the same today as it was, 10 months ago, and signing him to a long-term deal. The deadline now for that is July 15th. The hope is they can work out something here sooner than that. But talks, the way have been explained to me after the Cowboys made their proposal March 2nd, haven't really gone that far. So I just think that's kind of – they're in a situation where that's kind of is where it is at this point. They'll check out some of their other free agents. They just signed tight end Blake Jarwin to a four-year deal, and then they'll hopefully multitask here and get something done with Dak, because clearly you want him around for an off-season program whenever that off-season program is going to start now with what's going on these days.
I'm talking to ESPN Cowboys reporter Todd Archer. You just said that since March 2nd, not much has happened since that offer was made. Why?
Probably for the same reasons that it hasn't happened since last offseason when they were discussing a contract, and they're in a situation where they just can't come to an amenable number for both sides. And look, this is part of the deal. But once you put the franchise tag on a guy, you have to start preparing for the end of the relationship, much like Washington with Kirk Cousins a couple of years ago on the tag twice, and then he left for Minnesota in his three-year fully guaranteed deal. The Cowboys love Dak Prescott more, I think, than the Redskins ever really liked Cousins. So there's hope they can get a deal done. At least that is their hope. But again, the way the business works, in some respects, it's best for Dak to just almost play the tag out 2 years and then see what happens and make close to $70 million maybe, and then seeing what he can get after that from the Cowboys or another team.
Todd, have you been able to get a sense of what the sticking point in the negotiation has been?
A little bit of everything in terms of the guarantee, where he might want to be in terms of the highest paid quarterback. We know that's Russell Wilson at $35 million. Does he want to be north of that? The Cowboys, we know they offered a guarantee of around $105 million. Jared Goff's guarantee was $110 million. You can make arguments that the Cowboys' $105 is better than the Rams' $110 because he was already due money on the last year of his fifth-year option. The Cowboys can say our percentage of guaranteed money would be greater. And then the length of the deal. Obviously, the player wants a shorter term. The team wants a longer term. So they've really not been aside from last September when Jerry Jones told us he thought this was imminent, nothing has felt that close since then.
Todd, we hear many pundits say, hey, if it's just a matter of a few million bucks on a long-term deal, just get it done. Is it that simple?
No. Well, if it was, they would have done it, right? But I think you have to look at it from the team's perspective of you got to sign other guys. They saw how he played in 2018 with Allen Hurns, Deontay Thompson, and I know I'm forgetting a couple other receivers before they traded for Amari Cooper, and how he blossomed after that. Well, if you have so much money tied up into the quarterback, then you can't keep it some of these other guys. So that's what they're trying to do. And look, the Zeke deal is painted as 15 a year and 50 guaranteed and all this. To the Cowboys' perspective, it's 12 and a half a year. It's really a four-year deal that, you know, they could still work with. The Dak one, when you get into that many zeros or a nine-figure guarantee, things change a little bit in terms of how you're able to keep other guys, and I think that's where their concern is.
If the franchise tag is what ends up being the case for Dak, and they don't get anything worked out by the draft, do they need to address the quarterback position then?
you know, if you're of that belief that the relationship is starting to end in a year or two, you'd think you'd be wise to look at the quarterback position in that from that perspective. But you can also look at it and say, at some point, Dak might get nicked up here. He's not missed a game in his career, obviously. Was banged up at the end, but still played. Cooper Rush is their backup quarterback. He's thrown three passes in his career. You can make the argument they should draft a quarterback regardless, just to be maybe even a backup and someone that you groom for the one day that Dak is no longer your team's quarterback, potentially. So I would think quarterback would be in that mix for sure.
Todd, if I had to ask you to bet an uncomfortable amount of money on it, is Dak Prescott the Cowboys' long-term quarterback by the time we hit the fall?
I'm still, for some reason, going to say yes, that they will figure this thing out and work out a long-term deal, because I go to what Jerry Jones told us during the Zeke stuff. When have I never gotten a deal done? It might just have taken longer to do, but I still think ultimately Dak will be the Cowboys' quarterback in 2020 up until 2024, 2023, whatever it would be. But I still believe, just based on history, that they'll get a deal done, because Jerry's not going to let a quarterback walk out the door.
Follow him on Twitter, at Todd Archer. Todd, we appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it.
And you got to think about what Todd just said there, and it's the sentiment that I've been echoing so much. Deals just get done for the Cowboys. They take a long time. Zeke took a long time. I guess I'd just be stunned, and maybe I'm just sticking my head in the sand here, but I would be stunned to see the Cowboys go into the quarterback position with no real solution. Now, remember, the fact that they franchised it means they have until July 15th, as you just heard, to work out a long-term deal. Well, do they? Because the draft is April 23rd through 27th. Even if it's not public, it's still going to be happening. So the Cowboys may give us an indication of what they're thinking when they actually hit the clock in the draft. Because if they don't draft a quarterback, then you do have to look around and say, okay, if not Dak, then whom? And if they don't have anybody else in that building, I think it's only even more of an indication that they think moving forward, they've still got their guy. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small business with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We'll get more of your take in just a second on Dak, as you guys have stacked the lines. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you don't think that the Cowboys should do this, then I want to know what you think they should do at the quarterback position, because I'm not going to look at this in a vacuum. If you think they should let Dak walk, then who should be the starting quarterback for the Cowboys? I want that answered. Speaking of starting quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, somebody that frankly out-negotiated everybody. He did use his leverage. We talked about using leverage earlier. He got himself into a fully guaranteed contract, and now today he's been given an extension on that guarantee 2 days prior to the start of free agency. He gets, going into the last year of his deal, another big extension that lowers his cap number and gives him $66 million over 2 years, including $61 million guaranteed at signing. So he lowers his number and gets even more money. He keeps playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. In the meantime, Mike Greenberg joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about the long-term money and the big deal for Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins needs to be credited for his brilliance. I mean, the man, he doesn't win too many playoff games. I think he's only won one in his career. Half the time he doesn't make the playoffs, yet he positioned himself to get a guaranteed $84 million over 3 years a couple of years ago, and now he's got a two-year extension. So he finds a way to make money. I don't know whether it's him or whether it's his agent. He is a very, very nice guy, very, very likable guy, smart, and a really decent quarterback. I certainly wouldn't call him a winner, but somehow, some way, he manages to make sure he gets his numbers and he gets his money. Props to him.
Can I say very quickly, Max, I don't mean to cut in, but the one piece of this that really surprised me, and there'll be a lot of surprise around the league, is that, you know who really likes him and thinks he's a nice guy, Stephen A., is Kyle Shanahan, the coach in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were looking at one more year of Cousins, give Garoppolo one more year to prove that he's worth what they've given him, and then that Cousins would wind up in San Francisco. So the fact that he gets a two-year extension in Minnesota takes that off the table, and I guess it does, despite everything you're hearing, put the Brady possibility in San Francisco back on.
Well, Greeny, let me say this real quick before Max chimes in. I would tell you that if you're Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers, I don't blame you for not making that move or for not pushing to make something like that happen. in light of how Kirk Cousins ended up performing in the postseason against them. Obviously, it wasn't entirely his fault, wasn't protected enough. Dalvin Cook was held in check, didn't have much to work with that particular day. Adam Thielen wasn't 100%. Okay, Stephon Diggs couldn't get off, and you're going up against an elite San Francisco defense, so you got to take all of that into consideration. But if I'm just fresh off of a performance where I've completely annihilated you and negated anything that you want to do, I then cannot turn around in the offseason and acquire you, even if it's at the expense of Jimmy Garoppolo, not when your performance is the freshest thing in my mind when you went against us. I couldn't do that, so I don't blame them.
I think teams are more likely just to look at who they think going forward is the best man for the job. And Cousins has that kind of stink on him where you don't believe he'll rise to the occasion. He did a couple times this year. And if he can get rid of that, he's in good stead around the league. But I want to look at this Cousins extension and look at the contract Tannehill just signed and the contract that Garoppolo signed. The guaranteed money is not like Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and those guys. Forget about annual average. It's guaranteed dollars that we're talking about. And those are smart teams. If you may even be better off with a quarterback who's good enough to get the job done and is not going to cost you $100+ million in a guarantee. He's only going to be $60 million in a guarantee. Who's good enough to get the job done other than the guy who makes you believe there's more upside? Because in the end, are Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, is the production, in fact, especially in when you need it most, is it different than Tannehill or Garoppolo or Kirk Cousins? Because some of these guys are getting $100 million and some of these guys are getting $60 million. And it's what John Elway said when he didn't want to throw away money on Osweiler. He said there should be a middle class of quarterbacks. This is the upper middle class of quarterbacks. Cousins and Garoppolo and Tannehill.
The problem is the quarterbacks that understand their leverage know the real fact, which is if you don't have at least a decent quarterback, you might end up with a trash quarterback. Yes, you could go into the draft and get lucky, but if you're the Vikings, what other option do you have? If you're the Titans, you looked around and said, you know what, I'll take Tannehill for 3 years at just an astronomical amount of money for the next 3 years. I'll take that over some level of uncertainty. Uncertainty is what drives the quarterback market, not the player that you have. Jay in California chiming in. Jay, we want your take. What's your take on Dak, Jay? Jay, we got you. We're trying, buddy. What's your take?
Hello? No.
Come on, Jay. You're on. Let's go. What's your take?
I'm sorry, man. I'm a Cowboy fan, and listening to so-called experts and callers, it's like they didn't watch Dallas play last year. Dak isn't clutch at all. He had ample opportunity to step up last year in close games and fail. Overthrowing, underthrowing, inaccurate passes. He got a lot of garbage yard games last year. Second half, no points. Like Chicago, Buffalo, Green Bay. People want to blame the defense. He had games where the opposing offense put up 13, 12, and 17, and Dak could not beat them.
Okay,
so he's had two quarterback coaches in 4 years. He's had two offensive coordinators in 4 years. He cannot make all the NFL throws. He can't. He can't game adjust.
So, Jay, let me ask you then, if not Dak, if you don't want to overpay Dak because he's just not worth the money, and I give you the option of overpay Dak or take Andy Dalton for the next 2 years, what are you taking?
I wouldn't take Andy Dalton. I would sign Tom Brady and draft a quarterback and try to develop him. Because this is Dallas. This isn't a Cleveland. This isn't Arizona. We want Super Bowls. And Jerry has made a history of overpaying, making bad deals on overpaying quarterbacks, wide receivers, awful deals. And I love that he's taking his time with this Dak situation and not overpaying him. Don't do look, we did the Tony Romo thing. Tony Romo did not work. He was extremely overpaid. He loved them. It was, why duplicate that mistake? I mean, it's ridiculous.
I love the concept, Jay. Jay, I love the passion. I love the concept. And I love what you're saying. And sure, if you're telling me that you're going to suddenly turn around and you're going to get yourself Tom Brady, then yeah. I mean, fine. If you'd rather have Tom Brady for this year, then I totally get that. I'm not here to question that part of the decision. I don't think Tom Brady's really in the cards to go any of these places. So now, all of a sudden, to me, it really does become a question of Andy Dalton. I mean, and I'm using Andy as a general concept for specific quarterbacks available. So it becomes about Andy Dalton or, you know, take your pick. Is it going to be Jameis Winston or is it going to be Marcus Mariota? You know, you still have to look at all of these across the board and make real decisions about what you want at the quarterback position when you have to realize that you may have absolutely nothing there that's better for you. I think that's a realistic situation that now everybody has to look at across the board. We're looking at it like it's suddenly Dak or, you know, I'm going to turn around and get Brady. Well, what if it's Dak or Mariota? What if it's Dak or Jameis? And what if it's Dak or Dalton? I don't think people feel as good about that situation. And I think that's a part of it everybody's forgetting. Coming up, two massive names in the NFL are on the move. Two household names have been traded today. We'll get the latest on it. But first, every night, local police departments across America receive hundreds of calls from burglar alarms. The vast majority of the time, they have zero idea if the alarm is real, if there's really a crime going on or not. All the alarm company can tell them is that, quote, the motion sensor went off. Simply Safe Home Security is different. If there's a break-in, Simply Safe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of that crime. That means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. You get comprehensive protection for your entire home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching the house. Entry motion and glass break sensor guards are inside. Plus, Simply Safe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's 24/7 monitoring by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself. No tools needed, which is great if you're not handy like me. Or Simply Safe will do it for you. And the best part, it's a bargain. 50 cents a day with no contracts. Visit simplysafe.com. That's simply with an I, safe.com/fits. You get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Go now. Be sure you go to simplysafe.com/fits, F-I-T-Z. That way they know I sent you. That's simplysafe.com/fits. Big names on the move in the NFL. Breaking news. You'll get the latest next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we've got the breaking news going on right now. As we continue to break down everything that's happening across the league year, we do know that a major trade has happened today. DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth-round pick have gone from the Texans to the Cardinals in exchange for David Johnson and a second-round pick this year and a fourth-round pick next year. So to help us break it all down, we're going to go to the Shell Penzel Performance Line where John McClain, who's covered the NFL for the Houston Chronicle for 43 years, joins us now. John, thanks for the time. How did this deal come down?
Jason, the last couple of years, teams had inquired about Hopkins. New England tried to trade for him twice. Texans listened, as they would for any team, but they didn't do it. And then this year, he's got 3 years left on his contract. Hopkins wants a new contract. They were not going to redo it with 3 years left, so they made the deal. It shocked Houston. David Johnson hadn't done anything since his second year. Now, he's had some injury-plagued years, but even so, Kenyon Drake was the running back at Arizona, so he's expendable. It's a great deal for Cliff Kingsbury to get Hopkins and a four and get a running back who was a backup and have to give up a 240th overall. And Kyler Murray is the player should be the happiest. Deshaun Watson should be the saddest.
Houston Chronicle NFL writer John McClain joining us. John, this is another in a key group of moves by the Texans with big names. How are they getting better as a roster right now?
Trader Bill O'Brien, he started this after he took over unofficially as the GM last year. He made a lot of moves for left tackle Laremy Tunsil, receiver Kenny Stills, running back Carlos Hyde. All of them made a big difference in the offense. They reached second round of the playoffs. And the one deal that I thought was a bad one was Jadeveon Clowney. Thought they should have franchised him and traded him after that or kept him for one more year and let him walk and get a compensatory three. But the players they've traded for all are less than 30. Hyde was 29. And they've actually worked out pretty well this past season. I wasn't even looking at the list of free agent receivers, Jason, because I didn't think there was any need to. And now, with Hopkins gone, with Fuller and Stills entering last year their contract and Fuller being unable to stay healthy, this is their top priority position over a pass rusher and a cornerback, and that means they're going to have to sign a free agent receiver and they're going to have to use one of those second-round picks on a receiver.
John McClain joining us. John, you make a great point about the draft, too. This is expected to be the deepest wide receiver class we've seen in quite a long time in the draft. So how does this impact sort of what they're looking at that position?
I think that's one of the reasons they were able to make the deal. They didn't want to go through a contract hassle like they did with Clowney and run the risk of Hopkins not showing up till the season started. And I think because it's such a good draft, and I know they have their eye on a couple of free agents as well, I think that's one reason Bill O'Brien pulled the trigger. You never know. Maybe they'll draft two wide receivers. They've got 2-2-3 and 2-4s. They don't have the one that goes to Miami in the Tunsil trade, but they're certainly going to be turning over their wide receiver core at least to try to find one guy to replace Hopkins.
You can read him on the Houston Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter at @McClain_on_NFL. John, as always, we appreciate your insight so much. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Jason, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
John McClain breaking it down here, and you know, this is just another shocking move. And I think part of what makes it shocking for Texans fans particularly is you're talking about DeAndre Hopkins, which is a name much like what everybody dealt with Jadeveon Clowney. So you have to start looking at this and saying, oh my gosh, why are they getting better? But as John points out, maybe there is a strategy to it. Through all of it, as you continue to read on Twitter, you'll see a lot of commentary about Bill O'Brien, as we don't know right now exactly how Bill O'Brien, the coach, meshes with Bill O'Brien, the GM, where the checks and balances are there for this roster. We're brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/ports. It's going to be interesting to see also as the Titans continue to figure out how to move forward, and whatever the Colts do, a team that have a ton of money to spend as the league year is about to start. So in the meantime, you guys are fired up about Dak. He's been exclusively tagged as a franchise free agent for the quarterback position, meaning he can't talk to anybody else. They have till July 15th to get a long-term deal done, and he's going to make between $30 and $33 million for this year alone. So Marco in Charlotte, what is your take on Dak?
Hey, can you trade him?
Well, sure, they could trade him. I mean, if they trade him, then somebody would have to have a new deal in place. But, yeah, they could trade him.
All right, this is the deal. Trade him to the Chargers, pick you some picks up, and go get Jameis Winston. I know you guys don't like Jameis Winston, but Jameis Winston is not that much different from Brett Favre, to be honest. And so with McCarthy, Kellen Moore, Jameis Winston, you're probably going to be okay. If at worst, nine win team, that's probably as good as you're going to be anyway, considering you haven't, the Cowboys haven't done anything in the last 10, 15 years and build your team up.
Look, and I don't have, like you said, you guys don't like Jameis Winston. I think we all can acknowledge Jameis Winston, the turnover machine. I don't dislike Jameis Winston, the quarterback. I think he's going to get a shot somewhere to try and build his career moving forward, but I don't see Jameis Winston as an upgrade from what they have right now in any way, shape, or form. And if they took Jameis Winston on, they'd be taking him on for 1 year. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. They'd be taking him on for 1 year. They'd still have to figure out how they're going to address the quarterback position moving forward. And make no mistake about it. Yes, I think if I'm the Chargers and I can get Dak right now, if it cost me my first round pick at what, seventh overall, I'm taking that all day. Don in Texas, right in the thick of it, Don, what's your take on Dak?
Stephen A. Smith and all the other professionals are blaming the Cowboys. They put three offers out there. The second offer would have put him in a top five quarterback, which he hasn't accomplished anything. Yes, he went to a couple playoff games. He won the NFC East. But other than that, nobody remembers the Super Bowl runner-up, let alone the NFC East champions and all that other stuff. So, and like the other caller said, Dak has had plenty of missed opportunities, you know, and other stuff like that. They want to throw up his good yardage. That's trash yardage, like the guy said.
You know, so I'll ask you the same 14. Question then. Let's say that Dak walks away because they can't get a deal done, and you're suddenly looking at Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota as your quarterback. Do you feel better going into this season?
Maybe not, but you got to look at it like this here. You know, when you're at the high school dance, you want to take out the best girl in high school, and she want to go to the top dollar restaurant, but you only got, you know, maybe Chili's instead of Ruth Chris, you know, you take the other girl out and you can still have a good time. So it's not all about just getting the best thing all the time, because he hasn't really proved anything to me. And I've always said that, but I never get a chance to talk about it locally in Dallas, but I call a lot.
Well, he's and look, I don't disagree with the mindset that you're giving me there. I just disagree with the concept that suddenly you're just going to turn around and roll the dice with somebody else, because everybody that has a mid-level quarterback, and believe me, I'm a Raiders fan. Everybody knows that. I deal with this with Derek Carr, right? You have a mid-level quarterback. You want that superstar guy. What you're forgetting is that you might also, in an attempt to get that superstar guy, get a whole bunch of hot garbage at the quarterback position. And when you have hot garbage at the quarterback position, you can't win. You can win with mediocre. You can't win with garbage at the quarterback position. That's the risk that you're taking. Coming up, we'll get into Dak Prescott being franchise tagged by the Cowboys. We'll get more of your take. Plus, you'll hear some of what Stephen A. and Max had to say about it. That's coming up. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the second hour of today's show, it's on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. We continue to try and break down all the news. Remember, the NFL has they've decided to get their year underway. So we are seeing news by the minute as it breaks down on who's signing where and what's going on. So we know a couple of things here on the tight end position. Specifically, Austin Hooper looks like he's leaving the Falcons to go to the Browns, where he will become the highest paid tight end in the NFL. But only an hour after that, Atlanta looks like they've executed their own trade. They'll get Hayden Hurst and the Ravens 2020 fourth round pick in exchange. The Baltimore gets the Falcons 2020 second round pick and the Falcons 2020 fifth round pick. So, as it turns out, we're going to continue to seeing this movement go all over as players begin to find new homes. In the meantime, Dak Prescott doesn't get to find a new home anywhere. Dak, at this point, has been exclusively franchise tagged. Can't talk to anybody else. He can only sit around and wait for a deal to be done. They have till July 15th to work out something long-term. Otherwise, he'll go into the season on a one-year franchise deal. He will make between $30 and $33 million. In the meantime, the Cowboys can sign him to a long-term deal up until that point. So, all of this raises a question of what the Cowboys are thinking, what Dak's thinking, and what should be done. Stephen A. and Max had that debate on First Take.
If you're willing to wait till the last second and you're willing to go to $105 million guaranteed, you won't go to $110 million guaranteed? It doesn't make sense. The Cowboys clearly botched this. They waited way too long. Then they showed every indication they were caving. And then to save a few dollars on the margins, they're going to botch the deal? The logic doesn't add up to me in any way except if Jerry Jones is simply trying to keep the Cowboys brand in the news, keep everyone talking about them, well, then this makes sense. It doesn't make sense otherwise.
Well, first of all, very few people care about your logic spot, Kellerman, because you always bring up your logic when it comes to talking about somebody else's money. But you also make sure to remind folks that it's about what the market allows.
And this is the thing.
You wouldn't
Captain.
Have paid him. Excuse me. When you go to negotiate, when I go to negotiate, if Swagoo goes to negotiate, if anybody in the world goes to negotiate, the market determines your worth. Once upon a time, decades ago, catch one, get paid money. Now we saw news about Tony Romo getting $17 million. Excuse me. The market has changed. And so when you look at it from that perspective, if Dak Prescott is performing well enough to have numbers comparable or success comparable to Carson Wentz, then it is entirely within his right to sit up there and demand. I'm not saying, Max, that you're saying it's not his right, but I'm saying it's entirely within his right to demand that, excuse me, I got a cat that's playing in the same division. He hasn't been to the playoffs as much as me. The one time he was in the playoffs, excuse me, he got hurt in that game. He wasn't eligible, mm-hmm. or not eligible, but he wasn't healthy enough to play in the two previous postseason matches.
So what are the Cowboys doing?
Here I am. I've been reliable all these years, and you don't pay me?
It's First Take Your Take on ESPN News. Look, I'm just like you guys. I'm trying to track all of this information as it comes down. Stephon Diggs has just tweeted out, it's time for a new beginning. None of us have any idea what that means, but we're going to try and figure out if we can get any context to it. In the meantime, John from Rhode Island, we've talked a lot about our take from Dak. What's your take, John?
Well, I feel about it like this. When it comes to this year, Dak had all the pieces there. The defense was there. The line was there. The running game was there. They just paid Zeke. He has Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup is emerging. I break it down. I'm a Dallas fan, by the way. I know I'm in Rhode Island, but I'm a Dallas fan. So as far as I feel about Dak, I feel like where Jerry messed up was a few years ago when that whole Romo transition went out the door. So if you pay attention to that year, Zach had what, zero interception, one interception? Why was that? They made him a game manager. They didn't ask him to do much, and they put it behind Zeke. They had some QB draws, and they used the play action, and that's how they got to the conference championship. But when you look at it this year, like the other caller said, he's got a lot of garbage yards. And even in close games where he had the opportunity to close out, he couldn't do it. What I feel about it is like this. Dak is just not the answer. When you look at with the game with New England, when they had a win that was 3 weeks out, what did Dak do on that play where they needed that two-point conversion? They had two shots at it, actually before the two-point conversion. They had two shots at a touchdown, and they couldn't do it. That last play where he didn't let go of the ball, and he underthrew Zeke and threw it at his feet, that pass was horrible. So what I mean is that Dak just can't make those fine throws in the middle of the game when all the pressure's on to win you the game. So getting to your point about Andy Dalton, if you look at Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, what have they not had these past couple of years? They haven't had a line. They never have a defense. And Marvin Lewis was a decent coach. He has A.J. Green there. But if you look at Andy Dalton, he has been able to win some close games. He has been actually with what he has to work with. He's actually
and John, I'm sorry. I got to cut you off. I got to let you go, man. We're up against the clock. Look, I don't think Andy Dalton's a terrible quarterback, and I think somebody's going to get Andy Dalton, and he's going to do a pretty good job. I think Cincinnati sort of has changed the way we view Andy Dalton in general, but I use him as a point because we look at the quarterback position in a vacuum. Now, if you're willing to go into the season with Andy Dalton as the quarterback for the Cowboys and you don't feel like there's a tremendous drop-off, then yes, 100%. Don't pay Dak. I just don't think most of us are there. What I know is the Will Cain Show is going to keep breaking everything down you need to know. NFL free agency news keeps breaking. Stick with us.